We're going to begin part two this morning. And in this one, so this morning, we're going to be talking about becoming the hands of heaven. Okay? Now, what we need to understand before we really move on with this is that it's really, really important for us to recognize heaven's message. Okay? We really need to listen to it. We need to listen to what heaven is telling us about who we are. We need to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. Okay? And that's the main part of what heaven's message really is for us. God sees us in ways that oftentimes we don't see ourselves. It's so easy for us. We get caught up in the stuff of this world, and then we look down on ourselves, and we think we're no good, and all of those kinds of things. But yet, that's not how God sees us. You see, we saw in this first part as we were studying that God sees us as, first of all, His treasure. And that is heaven's priority. He gave the best that He had, the most valuable possession, in order to buy us back, because He realized that we are that hidden treasure in the field. You see? That's His priority. He pardoned us from our sins. Okay? That is heaven's provision. And not only did He pardon us from our sins, but also He transforms us into the image of His Son. That is heaven's purpose for us. And then finally, in this first part of hearing heaven's message, we talked about the fact that God calls us to live in wholehearted obedience to Him. That is heaven's call. Okay? Now, here's the really important thing. If we don't hear that message from heaven, then we're really not going to pay a whole lot of attention to the next message that He has for us. Okay? So that's why I kept reminding you of these four things that we've been talking about. God's message to us. Now, we need to pay attention to that and really know it in our hearts so that we will do the next part. Pay attention to the next part, and that is with sharing what heaven has to tell us. Okay? It really is all about sharing our relationship with God that we have with other people. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to just take the message that He has for us and we go, "Oh, great message, I got it, that makes me really feel good," and then keep it to ourselves. He wants us to share it with everyone that we have opportunity to do that with. So this is all about sharing heaven's message. And this is the part, if you go back and you read, especially in the New Testament, you read the time of Jesus and all the confrontations that He had with the religious leaders of His day and just Jewish life at that particular time in history, that's the part of the message that they missed. Because, you see, they saw themselves as God's chosen people. And we're special, you see? And yes, they were God's chosen people, but God did not choose them to live exclusively in the world away from everybody else. He chose them for just the opposite. You see, God intended for them to take the message and share it with the rest of the world, but they didn't do that. They isolated themselves from the rest of the world, kind of like this idea of saying, okay, well, we got the message. We've got it. If you want it, you got to come to us. That's not what God intended at all. It's not what He intends for us. He gives us the message, and He wants us to share it with other people. If you go back and you look at the story in John chapter 4 of the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, the conversation as it begins really kind of reveals to us that mindset that the Israelites had at that time. When Jesus first said to the woman, "Would you give me something to drink?" her response, you see, tells all. It says, "How is it that you, a Jew, could ask me, a Samaritan woman, for something to drink?" And you see, in her mind, she understood that there were boundaries, and you don't cross those boundaries. And Jews did not have anything to do with Gentiles, or, and especially in her case, Samaritans, who were basically half-breeds. They isolated themselves because they missed the message from heaven that God had intended for them to understand for themselves and then to share with the Gentile world. We're talking about this morning, in this part of the message, becoming the hands of heaven. Okay? I think that probably if you have ever had more than one child, okay, that were of nearly the same age like this, or if you've ever babysat them, you've ever had them in school or anything, then you know what this picture is all about, right? You know, whether you're riding in the car or they're sitting in the room playing with one another, whatever, and what do you hear from them? Stop touching me. He's touching me. Yeah, you see, some of y'all have done that before, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And you know, when we're little kids like that, we say, oh, y'all get along with one another. You know, Ben and Emma do that with one another all the time. You know, they just kind of like to tease each other. Okay? And when they're little kids like that, sometimes it's cute, sometimes it's annoying, and so forth. But you know what the problem is? I think that as adults, that's what we do with people who we don't want to be bothered with. Okay? And it may not be that we're so much hooked on the not touching me physically, but we don't want them to have to touch our lives. Because when people start touching us, they touch our lives, then that requires an investment in their life. It requires time and energy and effort and sometimes even money and all of those things. And so I think sometimes we look at people that are needy, we look at people that are in trouble, we look at people that are steeped in sin and all of those other things, and we say, stop touching me. We want to keep them at a distance. But that's not what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40, we find a story here that I think is really interesting. That it's a story of the woman who had an issue of blood. And Luke tells us that this woman had been bleeding for 12 years. She had some kind of a problem, and she'd been to all the doctors, and nobody could heal her. Nobody could help her. She'd spent all of her money. And then one day, she hears that Jesus is in town. And as Jesus is going through the crowd, the town, there's a crowd of people all around him. And people are pushing and shoving and all of this. And this woman, she says to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I know that I'll be healed. She had that much faith. And so she somehow worked her way through the crowd and in a sense, kind of, she snuck up on Jesus. Okay, I don't, you know, that image just kind of in my mind is kind of funny. You know, she snuck up on Jesus. She did, but she really didn't. She thought she was going to be able to go unnoticed. Touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Who touched me? And you know, there's a crowd all around, and you know, everybody's denying. Not me. It wasn't me. I didn't. And Peter finally says to him, Lord, you know, everybody's crowding in. They're pushing and shoving. You know, how can you say who touched you? You see, Jesus wasn't talking about the touch of a crowd where people are pressing all in. He was talking about the touch of one person. He recognized that. What did he say? Who touched me? He said, power has gone out from me. Power has gone out from me. I know that. I recognize it. I felt that power go out from me. Here's one of the really interesting things about this story. Okay? Let me get this thing to go here. When this woman, Luke tells us here, then the woman, look at this, seeing she could not go unnoticed. Seeing she could not go unnoticed. Do you understand that statement? Say, when she realized she couldn't go unnoticed, then she finally fell at Jesus' feet and she fessed up. You see, the thing that strikes me about this is the trying to go unnoticed part. Do you realize how many people are in our world, in your world, whether it's at home or at work or at school or wherever you are in your world, to go unnoticed. You see, one of the things about Jesus is that we don't get lost in the crowd with Him. Okay? You never get lost in the crowd with Him. Nobody goes unnoticed with Jesus. And I think that's the power of this story, that here's this woman who thought she could kind of get lost in the crowd and be able to just touch the hem of His garment, but Jesus recognize, because no one goes unnoticed with Him. And so the point is here that whatever is going on in your life or in the life of someone else, you need to understand it's not unnoticed by God. Okay? It's not unnoticed by God. And if you would have the faith like this woman, then His power can go out from Him to you, to heal you of whatever sin, whatever problem, whatever issue, whatever struggle, whatever turmoil might be going on in your life. Okay? Because you don't go unnoticed. I don't know what's happened here with this, but it's not responding very well. So we're talking about being heaven's hands and heaven's heart. Okay? We'll go to another passage here and look at the story in Luke chapter 7 of Jesus being anointed by a sinful woman. Okay? Jesus is invited to the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. Okay? And while they're there reclined at the table enjoying their meal and so forth, then it tells us here that there's a woman that comes in. And notice what it says about this woman. This woman who was known in the town as being a sinful woman, or some of your translators say, leading a sinful life. And basically what that refers to is she was a prostitute. Okay? And she was not the kind of woman that good people allow in their homes, and certainly not the kind of person that a religious person would allow to touch them. And yet Jesus did. She came in and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, poured perfume on His feet. And Simon, the Pharisee, the religious leader, says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was that was touching him. Okay? Because again, good people don't let bad people touch them. And Jesus then began to tell Simon a parable. He said, Simon, there were two men who owed a certain man some money. One of them owed him 500 denarii, another one 50. But neither man had the money to pay him back, and so he forgave both debts. Which one do you think loved him more? And Simon said, I suppose the one who had the greater debt forgiven. And Jesus then responded to Simon by saying to him, Simon, I came in here, and when I did, you didn't offer me any water to wash my feet. And this woman wet my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss when I came in, but she has not stopped kissing my feet. And you didn't give me any oil to anoint my head. She poured perfume over my feet. He said, whoever has been forgiven of much loves much. But whoever has been forgiven of little loves very little. This woman loved. She had been forgiven so much in her life. And that's the power that goes out from Jesus. You see? The power of His touch to forgive us of whatever it is. Okay? Basically, what Jesus was doing and what He was trying to tell Simon, and basically He kind of contrasted the two of them, you see, with what this woman had done for Jesus and what Simon had not done for Him. Okay? It's all about the touch. You see, Jesus, notice this, Jesus had a heart of compassion. And that heart moved Him, you see, moved His hands to accept this woman. And that's one of the important things about this that we have to understand. It's not about what our hands do. It's got to start with our heart. If our heart is filled with compassion, and that will move our hands to act. Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't pull away from this sinful woman. Right? He touched her. He allowed her to touch Him. And He commended her for the love that she had for Him. That's the Jesus touch. Okay? That's the Jesus touch. Show me your hands. What are you talking about? Okay. Jesus modeled for us the hands of heaven. In other words, He demonstrated for us how heaven wants us to use our hands in service to God. And how did He do that? Well, He did it in the lepers that He touched. Yeah, those unclean kind of folks, disease ridden. He did it in the children that He hugged. He demonstrated and modeled heaven's hands in that way. And the unclean people, the sick and the dying and the dead that He touched, that were all unclean people. And yet Jesus touched them. He modeled heaven's touch, heaven's hands for you and I in our lives today. What He wants us, in other words, to do is share heaven's message with everyone else. Even the feet that He walked. Okay, He modeled heaven's hands. John chapter 13, where John records for us the incident where Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. Okay? And in verse 15 He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And then look at what He says in verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You see, modeling heaven's hands was not just to come and show us so that we can look at it and go, wow, that's cool. Look at what Jesus did. No, it was to show us how to do it so that we would do likewise. And Jesus says, if you want the blessings, then the blessings come not in the knowing, but in the doing. And that's why He modeled heaven's hands for us. He wants us to follow His example and do what He did and to touch the untouchable with our lives. Calls us to imitate Him. The text that we read as we began this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Okay? Therefore, be imitators of God. Okay? Be imitators and do what He does. Basically what He's saying here. And walk in love. Okay? Some of the translations put it this way. Live a life of love. You can't live a life of love if you're not willing to touch people. Touch people's lives. Okay? So, you see, He calls upon us to be the hands of heaven. Right? That's what this is all about. Be the hands of heaven. But in order for us to do that, we have got to have heaven's heart. Okay? If we want to be the hands of heaven. Okay?
You've got to have heaven's heart. If it's not in the heart, it's not going to be working.
We've got two choices.
Right? Two choices. It's really all there are.
Number one, we can wash our hands, okay, of the world's troubles like Pilate did.
Okay? Just wash our hands of it. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to mess with it. I don't have time for this.
Whatever the issue is, just wash your hands of other people's problems and other people's issues, other people's struggles, other people's sins. We can do that.
Or we can wash feet like Jesus.
That's the two choices.
So, show me your hands. Show me your hands.
Don't be bashful about them. Put them up there.
Okay?
Now, you've shown them to me. I want you to turn them around and take a really good look at them. Okay? What kind of hands do you have? Okay? Are your hands, in other words, symbolically here, are your hands soft and smooth and you know, clean from all the lotions and the pampering that you do and taking care of your hands and so they just feel real good? Or are your hands rough and calloused and moving? Where's your hand? What are you going to do with it? Okay. What kind of hands do you have? Do you have your hands? Or do you have the hands of heaven?
You see, here's something I want you to understand.
Only God, and I think this is a true statement, only God can turn a mess into a message. Okay? And He can turn a test into a testimony. A trial into a triumph, and a victim into victory. Only God can do that. But He mostly does that through us. Okay? He mostly does that through us. The hands of heaven. Okay? So, will you be the hands of heaven? That's what this is about.
What are you going to do and how are you going to use your hands?
Will you use them for you? Or will you use them for heaven? We're going to stand together and sing a song here in just a moment, an invitation song. The purpose of that is for us to be able to have an opportunity to be able to really look at ourselves and say, okay, are there some things that I need to get straight in my life? Are there some things that I need to fix, some problems that I'm having, some issues, some sin I need forgiveness of? Are there things that I'm not doing that I need to, and I need some prayer, some help, some encouragement, some guidance, whatever it is. It's an opportunity for anyone to come and say, hey, here's where I am and here's what I need. It's also an opportunity for anyone who is not yet a Christian to be able to become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then you can do that right now this morning. Call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. All you have to do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you, and I'll be up front. We're here to serve you, to help you to become more and more the hand of heaven. Let's stand together and sing.